Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, February the 25th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to allow us to study your word day by day. We're grateful for the opportunity that is afforded us, that we might learn and become more like you. We ask today that you would give us that which we need most, so that our hearts will reflect all that you will be teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've reached the seventh chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, and we begin at verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife the benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency. But I speak this by permission, and not of commandment. For I would that all men were given as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become circumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for you and your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend unto the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband is dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Testimonies to Ministers, page 426 and paragraph 1, begins this way. It says, there is much preaching the truth, but few are sanctified through the truth. Piety and righteousness are not brought into the practical life, and the Lord is dishonored, and having no vital connection with God, poor, weak human nature has no strength to resist temptation, and never will have till the converting power of God takes hold upon the soul. We are nearing the judgment, and those who bear the message of warning to the world must have clean hands and pure hearts. They must have a living connection with God. The thoughts must be pure and holy. The soul untainted, the body, soul, and spirit be a pure, clean offering to God, or he will not accept it. Recent painful developments of evil are one of the greatest evidences we have that the end is near. Satan, like a roaring lion, is going about seeking whom he may devour, and if men and women, under the blazing light that now shines in this perilous time, will be found fornicators, I am afraid that God will separate them from the work forever. The youth, for misdemeanors of a comparatively light character, are treated with much severity. But when men and women of large experience who have been considered patterns of piety are revealed in their true character, unsanctified, unholy, impure in thought, debased in conduct, then it is time for such to be dealt with in a decided manner. The greater forbearance that is exercised towards them has only had, as far as my knowledge extends, the influence to cause them to regard their fornication and adultery as a very light matter. And all their pretense has proved to be like morning dew when the sun shines upon it. No sooner are they placed in temptation than they reveal their moral defects, that they are not partakers of the divine nature, neither have they escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but that they are earthly, sensual, devilish, Satan finds in them something that he can work up into marked iniquity. And he improves his opportunity, and the result is those who claim to be shepherds of the flock are carnally minded, leading the sheep of their care, whose purity, modesty, and virtue they should strictly guard, into licentiousness and lewdness. Angels of heaven are looking on with shame and grief and disgust. How can the pure angels of heaven minister unto this class? How can they bring heavenly light into the assemblies where such ministers are advocating the law of God, but breaking that law whenever a favorable opportunity presents itself? They're living a lie, pursuing an underhanded course, working in secret, nursing their polluted thoughts and inflaming their passions, and then taking advantage of women or men who are tempted, like themselves, to break down all barriers and debase their bodies and pollute their souls. How can they do this thing? How can they have any fear of God before them? How can they have any love for God in their souls? Of what value is their faith in the truth? Cleanse the camp of this moral corruption. If it takes the highest men in the highest positions, God will not be trifled with. Fornication is in our ranks. I know it, for it has been shown me to be strengthening and extending its pollutions. There is much we will never know, but that which is revealed makes the church responsible and guilty unless they show a determined effort to eradicate the evil. Cleanse the camp, for there is an accursed thing in it. The words of God to Joshua are, "Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. These things are written for our benefit, upon whom the ends of the world are come." I have no real ground of hope for those who have stood as shepherds to the flock and have for years been borne with by the merciful God, following them with reproof, with warnings, with entreaties, but who have hid their evil ways and continued in those evil ways, thus defying the laws of God of heaven by practicing fornication. We may leave them to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, after all has been done to reform them, but in no case entrust to them the guardianship of souls. False shepherds they are. Oh, can it be that the men who have been engaged in this work for a long time will corrupt their ways before the Lord after great experience and special light? He that is to come says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Every good deed done by the people of God as the fruit of their faith will have its corresponding reward. As one star differeth from another star in glory, so will believers have their different spheres assigned them in the future life. With a man who did not walk with God as did Enoch, but who walked by the side of Satan, listening to his suggestions, obeying his promptings, imperiling his own soul and souls for those whom Christ died, to gratify the carnal mind, give leniency to sin in his example? Will such a man be found among the overcomers? When a man dies, his influence does not die with him, but it lives on, reproducing itself. The influence of the man who was good and pure and holy lives on after his death, like the glow of the descending sun, casting its glories athwart the heavens, lightening up the mountain peaks, long after the sun has sunk behind the hill. So will the works of the pure and the holy and the good reflect their light when they are no longer here to speak and act themselves. Their works, their words, their example will forever live. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. But what a contrast to this is the life of those who are earthly, sensual, devilish. The sensual pleasure was indulged. In the light of the judgment, the man appears as he is, stripped of the livery of heaven. He stands before others as he is in the sight of a holy God. Let every one of us think seriously whether the work following us will be the mellow light of heaven or the shadows of darkness, and whether the legacies we bequeath are those of blessings or curses. Every passing hour of the present is shaping our future life. These moments spent in carelessness, in self-pleasing, as if of no value, are deciding our everlasting destinies. The words we utter today will go on echoing when time shall be no more. The deeds done today are transferred to the books of heaven, just as the features are transferred by the artist onto the polished clay. They will determine our destiny for eternity. For bliss or eternal loss and agonizing remorse. Character cannot be changed when Christ comes, nor just as a man is about to die. Character building must be done in this life. We fear that repentance will come to the self-indulgent, tainting soul all too late. A few resolves, a few tears, will never reverse a guilty past life, nor blot out of the books of heaven the transgressions, the willful, knowing sins of those who have had the precious light of truth and can explain the scriptures to others, while sin and iniquity are drunk upon like stolen waters. As though written with an iron pen, they may be found lead in the rock forever. I would make my brethren alarmed if I could. I would urge upon them with pen and voice, live in the Lord, walk with God. If you would die in the Lord and enter by and by where the Lord abideth forever, be not disobedient to the heavenly warnings. Grasp the neglected pleas and entreaties, the warnings, the rebukes, the threatenings of God, and let them correct your wayward, sinful heart. Let the transforming grace of Christ make you pure, true, holy, and lovely as the pure white lily which opens its blossom on the bosom of the lake. Transfer your love and affections to him who died for you on Calvary's cross. Train your lips to speak forth his praises and to offer up your prayers as holy incense. I ask again, how can any who have the precious solemn message for this time indulge in impure thoughts and unholy deeds when they know that he that never slumbers and never sleeps sees every action and reads every thought of the mind? Oh, it is because iniquity is found in God's professed people that he can do so little for them. The truth, when received into the heart, sanctifies the receiver. Kept apart from the life and practice, it is dead and useless to the receiver. How can you grieve your Redeemer? How can you dishonor him before the angels and before men? How can you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? How can you crucify the Lord of glory of flesh and put him to open shame? How can you give occasion for Satan and his angels to exalt and triumph over those who claim to be loyal subjects of Jesus Christ? All fornicators will be outside the city of God. Already God's angels are at work in judgment, and the Spirit of God is gradually leaving the world. The triumph of the church is very near. The reward to be bestowed is almost within our reach, and yet iniquity is found among those who claim to have the full blaze of heaven's light. The day God is calling us, he is warning us about the fornication and the licentiousness of our lives. How can we possibly expect to be saved eternally when we engage in the sinful patterns expressed here? If you are indeed engaged in this kind of choice, engaged in this kind of behavior, I plead with you today, ask God for forgiveness. Ask Him to transform your life. Ask Him to give you the things in your heart that you really, really desire to be more like Him and less like Satan, so that you might be prepared for the time to come, and so that salvation can be yours. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn. Your word is clear. We ask, Lord, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that we might walk according to your will and be transformed according to you. We ask today that all those who listen will meet the requirements that you have set forth, turning from our sinful lives and following you closely in every regard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, February the 25th, 2020.